This is something you might want to opt out of. Recently, eBay sent us an email. That said, they're going to start showing our customers the calculated shipping costs and the discounts that we get if you don't select opt out. So today we're going to talk about that a little bit, about the email and what it means, and kind of roll through what some of the discounts were and what kind of implications it's going to have on your eBay store. But we have to talk about a little bit of an update. We had been on vacation for the last 3 weeks.
Yep.
And while we're on vacation, we had two really unusual things happen to us that have never happened to us before. And I think that it's going to change it. Well, I know that it's changed my mind, my thinking about one of the things I talked about in an earlier episode about if Porch Pirate's still a package. And I was pretty firm, and I dug my heels in that we would make them submit the claim to USPS because it's not our fault. It's nothing that we could have done. But Jen, you want to tell us a little bit about what happened while we were on vacation?
Sure. Well, we didn't have Porch Pirate steal a package, thankfully. I guess we still get to experience that one day in the future, probably. But we did have, oddly enough, two packages just sort of disappear off the face of the earth. You know, we took them to the post office. They got scanned in. The tracking shows them checked in. The tracking even shows them, like, leaving, being scanned out of Eureka, where we live. And then crickets. They just quit moving. And one of them, unfortunately, was a very unusual, rare item. There are no other ones on eBay. And so the gal who had ordered it from us was really excited about getting it. And I felt really sad for her, though, you know, it has nothing to do with what we did. It just literally went missing. I don't know what happens with the USPS, but, you know, I know that mail sometimes goes missing. And we've had it happen twice now in the last, you know, 3 weeks. We had another little tiny one go missing as well. Its value was under $10. So it wasn't as sad as the super rare vintage one of a kind of a brand new thing that we had go missing. But
so we went a year and a half, didn't have any items go missing.
Really good luck, I guess.
And then within a span of 3 weeks, we have two items go missing all at once.
I know, and they weren't mailed on the same day. They were mailed near each other, but not even within the same.
What about the fact that we've had a brand new mail carrier for about every day for the last 4 months.
It might have something to do with it, but they were scanned leaving Eureka. So locally, I don't think that it was the problem. I don't know. It's confusing. Where do they go? But I do watch a lady on Instagram who likes to buy up missing USPS packages. So maybe one day I'll see mine on her feed.
So maybe you should look into that. And that could be another side hustle that we do, is buying USPS lost packages.
It's actually harder, I think, to get those than you might think. But that is her side hustle already.
Another little side hustle we can explore. All right, so the update on that is I think I'm going to change my tune a little bit, because since the USPS lost it in transit, never got to the person's house, didn't show as being delivered, then before I said, and I dug my heels on in this one, that the buyer was going to have to submit the claim with USPS. Mm-hmm. Now, since it never got delivered, I think I do need to adjust my thinking on that, and that I will submit the claim myself as the seller.
Yeah, we came to find out that it's not that hard. It doesn't take but just a couple of minutes. And if we still get paid technically in the end anyhow, I don't really have a problem with it. And I think in thinking about it with this lady, she was just so nice. And I'm just so thankful that that happened to be our first circumstance. Right. She wasn't yelling at me. She wasn't rude. She was just genuinely so sad that she didn't get the thing that she really wanted. I wanted to help her, you know, and she waited so patiently because she called, I called. I went to two different post offices. I talked to people in person. They continued to just tell us to keep waiting patiently. But there does, you know, there has to be a point where you say, okay, it's lost. And so once she, I told her that she could make up her mind how patient she wanted to be to see. And she waited, continued to wait a little bit longer, maybe a week after our, you know, we were talking about that. And, you know, from that point forward, she just asked for her money back. And, you know, because she handled it so kindly, it made me want to. And then, you know, it was nice to go through the process of learning how to submit the claim. Actually, not very hard at all on the USPS website. We already had an account because we had where we had their boxes shipped to right. our house. And so we already had an established account, which would have been probably one of the harder steps in That's getting great. One set up. And so it was just a matter of finding the receipt, go ahead and initiating the return so that she would get her money back, and then going back in and downloading the receipt. It took me a couple of clicks to figure out where that might be.
Wait, you got to step back. Clarify a few of these things that you're saying. So you went ahead and gave the buyer the money back.
You go ahead and gave the buyer the money back.
We refunded the money on eBay to the buyer. Yep. Okay. So then you went in the USPS website and you had to find a receipt.
They need a receipt their
tracking number.
That is one of the things that they want is the tracking number. They want to see where you have given the money back to the person.
Oh, and so they want to see
it's
the
a receipt where you it shows that they bought it, and then basically where you've negatived out the amount.
Your credit to them.
The credit back to them. So that
from
you're
eBay. So you needed eBay. A receipt from eBay.
Yeah, for the transaction.
Showing the transaction.
And then you just upload it along with the tracking number, like you said. And there's a couple other questions, like what day did you mail it, which is in your tracking information. But they still make you do that. And
wait
then,
a second. USPS, you guys asked us what day we mailed it, and you have tracking of what day we mailed it.
So you just probably need to pick whatever day you the tracking starts.
Where did you last see the package?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Why don't you tell me where you last saw the package, buddy?
It's just so bizarre when they just quit moving. But, you know, it really was only just a handful of questions. I hit submit. It sent the email address, a confirmation that said that the claim had been submitted. I did wonder how long it would take. And I went back because we still hadn't heard anything by email. And their website said, I think it was up to 10 business days. And so you do have to factor that in. And, you know, I had kind of stopped thinking about it. And then when we returned home from our trip, we had the check.
Check
in the mail.
Waiting for us.
Need to put it back in. And so it is nice to know that when they screw up on one of your ground advantage orders or your priority orders, you have up to $100 of insurance, which is going to cover nearly anything that we would have mailed. And, you know, you do have to be a little bit patient because they ask you to be very patient while they've lost your item for many weeks to be patient and then to wait many weeks more to get reimbursed. But you do eventually. And so
that one was on the super rare cups. And then we had another one that you were talking about that was a little bit cheaper.
It was just a measuring spoon.
So we went ahead and refunded that person too. It was good customer service on our part because it's generally lost.
I just submitted the claim. Yeah. However, I'm curious as to what's going to happen with this one because I did make the claim. We haven't gotten the check yet from that one. The time period has not gone by yet. However, the lady finally wrote us back and said, "Oh, I got it. It showed up. It finally showed up. And I do mean that it has been out for over a month and really didn't go very far. From
floating around Alaska International. This measuring cup's been everywhere, man.
I don't know. And so, but we did go ahead and give her money back already. And so I guess we'll have to update our listeners on how that one ends up playing out. I suspect that they probably have a window where if they've delivered it that late, they eat the cost of it and they probably send us a check. But she did offer to send us the money. I don't exactly know how I would go about recapturing the money from her, but also it was like $10 order. So I'm not gonna stress about it, but
that was just good customer service to you and something under, you know, 10 bucks. I'm not going to stress about it too much, but if it was like those cups were, you know, close to $100. So that's something that's different. That's a different story.
More than anything, I was just worried about the negative feedback. So the potential for negative feedback, I guess. And we just continue to be blessed with people who are understanding. We've only ever just had the one customer in over a year that was just a little odd in their in their response mechanism.
Yeah, a lot of people block those odd ones like that. Like I've got a buddy that just blocks it as soon as the he's really quick to block people, and I'm like, you're blocking your customers.
We did go ahead and block that lady because I was definitely done talking to her. But we give her money back, you know, it's fine. But
okay, so that's negative feedback is leading then to what our next topic is, or what our main topic is going to be. And that's about discounted eBay shipping for our sellers, for sellers, right? They give us a break on the shipping, which is kind of cool. I kind of like that.
It is nice. It factors in the handling part a little bit.
Yeah.
So, I'm not keen for people to see how much that ends up being.
And that's what so that's where this topic's going is eBay sent me this email. And if I didn't read it closely enough, I would have just, eBay sent a lot of emails. I'm just going to be honest with you. And I could have just browsed right over this one because I'm kind of known for being busy and not exactly reading the fine print, so to speak. But this one caught my eye, and it was that the eBay is going to start showing our customers on our store what we actually pay for shipping labels. Mm. And what that's supposed to do is it's supposed to draw a lower cost to your customers, and they're going to see that, so they want to shop at your store. Well, eBay, I'm calling your bluff on this one because, like Jen said, it doesn't give us that much of a discount or on shipping labels. But what Jim was talking about, it pays for some of our packaging materials. It
pays for all of the packaging material.
It pays for, you know, shipping and handling expenses, the time it takes to handle that stuff.
And I just really don't think that the average buyer understands that we're not Amazon. I don't have the stockpile of boxes, and I'm not buying in the kind of bulk where boxes cost me a penny the way that Amazon is. I mean, we do strive really hard to keep our costs for shipping supplies really low. We recycle, and I'm usually try to use coupons and be really cognizant of the amount that we're spending on that. But still, it costs more than a couple of pennies to ship people's thing out properly, and I want to be able to wrap it up well. So,
and just to be clear, some people out there are overcharging on their shipping because you can do that, right? You can put your own shipping fees. And some people are putting, like, they'll have a $4.99 item and then they put $50 to $150 in shipping. And that's what I saw with that WeBoost that I sold not too long ago, too. I was like, how are people selling this $500 WeBoost for $100? But I looked over at the shipping and their shipping was $450. I'm like, oh, I see. You're just enticing people in at your $100 price point, and then you catch up on your shipping. And we don't do that.
We do not.
We don't.
We just prefer a transparent shipping model where it's pretty close.
Some people have said that our shipping's high, and I'm like, no, our shipping is not high. It's pretty reasonably priced.
There was a couple people, and I sympathize. They would leave feedback. Like I shipped a pair of shoestrings to somebody, and the smallest, you know, package that eBay will allow you, like the kind of the weight is 1 ounce, right? Mm-hmm. So it's in a package that's not just a plain flat envelope, which is like a number 9 envelope. It's just a little tiny mailer. And so the shipping really does cost. I think the lowest one I've seen come through is like maybe $4.30 to ship something. But that's something that's like weighs practically nothing. Exactly. That really is what it costs to ship that. And then we had to buy the little envelope, you know, and I had to buy the ink for the printer. And so I wish eBay hadn't really made that a thing. Like to show everybody what it costs doesn't include the other expenses that go into buying a small business.
Well, there's hope for it then, because you can opt out of that.
Yeah.
And I'll drop the links to be able to opt out of it in the show description down below. But a couple of things we need to cover before we get down there. So looked up on eBay. I was trying to figure out what the average price for that discount that we get on shipping labels. And it differs. So you got commercial-based pricing, which is CBP. That's the acronym for it. Mm-hmm. And this applies to all the sellers, even little tiny sellers, whatever, regardless of your volume. And it's typically what we do, mm-hmm. right? We're an average seller. But then you got commercial plus pricing sellers or discounts. And that's for the more high volume customers that you're talking about, like people.
Like a million packages or something.
Yeah, resellers have employees that are shipping stuff out because they're doing like 10,000 a week or, I mean, 10,000 a month. Mm-hmm. And then if also put in the show notes, the little link that gives you the USPS rates, that was kind of interesting to look through, but it was kind of got analysis paralysis because there was so much detail in there. It's kind of crazy. All right. So in the subject line, if you want to go back and look for this email from eBay, in the subject line, it says, we're updating the default shipping rates shown on your listings. So you want to go back and find that one in the subject line. And you have until May 15th to opt out of this stuff. If not, it's eBay is going to automatically start showing on all of your listings. And I think it was, let me read this real quick. I think it was on all listings and even prior listings.
Oh, like the new ones and the old ones. They'll just update yeah. it across the board. That makes sense.
They said, oh, we're making this change to help your listings attract more buyers by offering a lower shipping cost. No, eBay, you're just going to make me have to raise my regular prices if you force me to do this.
Right.
All right. So what does this mean for resellers? We kind of covered it. That small discount pays for our shipping materials. Definitely. Even at the little expenses that we have on that.
And sometimes it really helps cover the time involved with going back and forth. I mean, some customers require extra communication. Right. And so when we've priced the item, I haven't factored in a whole lot of fussing. And sometimes, you know, once you've already sold the item, there ends up being a little bit of fuss, you know, that you have to put into something. And so
like Frankenboxen.
Yeah, that's a great example. So your Wee Boost that sold. Yeah. Other people were listing the shipping as crazy amount. But I probably did spend way extra time boxing that up because I really did have to combine and cut and pack and, you know, so.
Well, you just put it in a manila box.
Did I?
Thing.
No,
the pole and everything, I had to Frankenbox because that thing was like 8 feet long.
It was a challenging boxing situation, it but was. we got it there. Yeah. And so, yeah.
All right. So that's kind of all that we wanted to let you guys know and, you know, just kind of update you about that to look out for. Yeah. And we realize, you know, Carl made up a good point. We constantly talk about Tupperware because that's all of our life right now. It's just full of Tupperware. And we just got the offer to buy 7,000 more pieces of Tupperware. So
yikes.
Is it going to go in the spare bedroom or is it going to go in your bedroom? Which way is it going to go?
I don't know where it's going to go.
What are we going to do with it if we get this?
Still in debate mode on that one.
Yeah, exactly. We're kind of negotiating with the seller right now to see if we can afford it. That's quite the next step up. Oh, and a small little update on the house that we were talking about flipping. The for sale sign's not there anymore. So I think it sold pretty darn quick. And so we didn't do it. We didn't buy it. We're still sticking around. I'm not going to become a flipper just yet. Got about 5 more years. But we will let you know about the more Tupperware. And we're going to get back out. Carl and I have some ideas on recording some videos, which sounds pretty cool. So I think the YouTube channel will be pretty interesting, pretty quick. Carl's got some great ideas on that. And then remember, give us a review over on Apple Podcast. I missed a couple of the reviews, so I wanted to catch them. I talked about one of them in an email, but she left us I think it's a she, and forgive me if you're not a she and you're a he. So they left us a review on Apple Podcast, and it was KKD of SSGA. Where do you think SSGA is? Do you think it's a state? Or what is it?
No, I don't. I have no idea.
I'm kind of curious. KKD of SSGA.
Thanks for your review.
Anyway, they said, nice to see pickers humble about their mistakes, realistic about growth, and having a good time. Great for drive time. Love that you're listening to us. And they said, I love listening and not having to watch a screen. They provide great balance and transparency. I appreciate how true to themselves they stay. Thanks for the info and entertainment explanation point.
So kind. Thank you so much.
That was pretty cool.
That's a fun one.
All right. And then back in July, so almost a year old, and please forgive me if I didn't talk about this one already. This is from DSMC24. He says, Great guys with good info, especially for beginners. Great interviews. Aw. Yep. We look forward to getting back to interviews, too. It just is so time-consuming to grab some people that we can interview, like other resellers. Like Collins on the Move is one of the next ones that I want to have. I've been working with. I've been, like, softening up Chris from The Bearded Thrifter.
Nice.
Is it The Bearded Thrifter? Uh-huh. Is Chris The Bearded Thrifter? Been softening him up to try to get him on, you know, kind of hit out some stuff. But it takes a lot of time. And, like, with Jennifer and I just giving this kind of stuff, we get to come home from church, have lunch, and then record a pod real quick. And then setting up an interview, it's like, are you East Coast time or Pacific time? Mm-hmm. Do you have kids? Where are the kids going to go to bed? Do we have to record afterwards? You know, it takes a lot to interview people. But I think that we'll start getting back into that, too, just to mix it up some more.
Yeah. I'd also like to get my cousin on one of these days. Oh, she's had a lot of success lately selling on eBay.
She found some holy grails recently. It was kind of cool.
She has. She's been fun to watch get into it. She's always loved picking things. So
that's pretty cool
to see her.
I love it. So I appreciate all the listeners. We are over on YouTube if you want to get over there, because I upload shorts every once in a while and some new content that's not always in the audio form. And you're feel free to leave us a review on most of the major podcast platforms. And we'll get over there and answer those questions over there. And then you can always email us at pickerspodcast. And so to not drown us out of Tupperware, but I want to give us a little Tupperware update. We have been on vacation for 3 weeks. Our store's been on vacation. Store's been on vacation since the last Tupperware update. So are we not going to see any sales because we've been on vacation mode?
That is correct.
Oh,
there are none.
I know. They'll come back.
We were gone more days. You're allowed a certain number of days. I think it's 15.
Right.
And we were gone for 21. So
there you go.
Yeah.
21 days without any sales. We'll see if it picks back up. We have some ideas. We're going to drop some of our prices and up our promoted. Just try to move some of this inventory. We have probably 740 pieces that are listed that aren't moving. So we want to generate some move, and just we'll have to do the cost analysis to see what we can drop them down to and still make the kind of money that we're looking to make. All right. So since the last update we gave on the podcast, though, we have sold $5,842 worth of Tupperware, 11 cents. And that is $800 more than last time we gave the update. So we made $800 in sales since then.
It was busy right before we left for vacation.
Yeah, it starts getting busy, and then we go on vacation and screw up all of our momentum.
But that's okay. We don't work to, you know.
Right.
We work to live.
And so with that, minus the cost of buying it and getting it, that is a net profit and eBay fees. Net profit of $3,942.11. We will still tithe 10% on that at the end of the year, and then we're also going to have to pay the 20% in taxes, or save the 20% in taxes. So it's kind of a net profit before taxes. So that's with, we sold 338 listings, and an average profit, we're up from $11.50, we're up to $11.66.
Those darn lids.
I know, those lids really dropped us down.
But we sold a lot. I mean, they're super easy to pack up, so I don't mind selling them. Yep.
All right, Jennifer, are you ready for some USPS trivia?
Okay.
USPS trivia.
I hope the question isn't, where's that box?
Where does most packages get lost?
Where do most packages go? Hopefully they go to heaven. I don't know.
All right, question number one. Multiple choice because it's a dated question.
Oh.
What year did the United States introduce the first postage stamps we're leaving it in. This is a no-cut episode.
Oh, wow.
Revolutionizing the way mail was paid for.
Okay.
Was it A, in 1772?
Okay.
Was it B, 1847?
Okay.
Was it D, 1929?
The 1800 one.
1847?
That was the only 1800s one, wasn't
that
it?
That was correct. United States first issued its postage stamps in 1847.
Perfect. The first date is too old. And the last date was too young.
Seven. So, I said,
process of elimination there. I guess that seems smart.
United States. What? When I get this screwed up sometimes.
What do you get screwed up? The people said they like it when we're humble and admit that we're wrong.
I don't want to be humble about this one because I'm a strong American and I never can remember when the United States was formed. What year? But and that's why I said 1772 and then I was thinking about it. I was like, no, it's 1774. No, it's 1776 was when the United States was made nation.
You didn't learn the Christopher Columbus sailed the ocean blue.
In what, 1942?
All right, let's move it on. We're circling the drain.
1742 that he sailed the ocean blue.
We're circling the drain. Moving on to the next one.
All right, number two. Okay. The USPS boasts a law enforcement branch. What's the name of the agency and what's interesting about its history? Could you try to just...
What?
The USPS boasts that it has a law enforcement branch. So there's a law enforcement branch of the United States Postal Service. You know, you had the Pony Express as mail carriers, and then you have a branch of investigators that investigate mail fraud. Can you tell me...
So your question is, who investigates mail fraud?
Can you tell me what the name of the branch that investigates the mail fraud?
I guess I would have thought... I would have thought that it would be like the FBI or something. I don't know. For like true mail fraud. That's interesting. I guess I don't know the answer. It's the judicial system of some sort.
I would have thought it was the Secret Service since they investigate money and protect our president and our past presidents.
It's like the people who do the firearms and stuff. Like
ATF, automatic or alcohol, tobacco, and firearms.
Well, I guess it's not an acronym, huh? Yep.
Not working on the acronym. So... And this is a hard one because I didn't even know it. So it's kind of unfair. But it was an interesting fact. I wanted to see if you're going to grab it because you're pretty smart.
Well, thanks.
All right. It is called the United States Postal Inspection Service.
Oh.
USPIS.
I knew that they could open. The only class of mail that they can open for inspection is the media to make sure that you really are shipping books. They are allowed to open those boxes and inspect to make sure
that they're... Oh, the postal
workers? Yeah. They really can.
Nice. Okay, yeah. So interestingly, it's the oldest federal law enforcement agency in the U.S.
Yeah.
Even predating the FBI. And it was founded in 1775. So it was founded before we were the United States.
Yeah, I knew it was a pretty serious federal offense to tamper with or... like kind of mess with mail or commit mail fraud. But I never have heard of anybody like being investigated. I'm sure they're out there doing hard work though. And thank you for your service to our country.
They do. Because can you imagine how many people try to sell drugs through the mail or money laundering or...
I mean, there's a lot of people who do that commit the credit card fraud and stuff too. It doesn't really seem like they're doing much about that, but
I don't know. I feel like this episode has been knocking USPS quite a bit. So we appreciate our mail carrier. She is very nice. We loved her all this whole time.
I miss our old one though.
I know, I do. I miss them. We had two great ones. One would, man, he would talk your ear off.
If you went out, you had to be prepared for a conversation.
You had to have a conversation with this guy.
I liked him.
All right. Question number three. Okay. While most mail is delivered by truck these days, the USPS still utilizes some more unique methods. You name one surprisingly mode of transportation still used to this day in mail delivery?
I know of one that's really interesting because I've been in Hell's...
You've been what?
I've been to the place where they do it. In Hell's Canyon in Washington, they use a mail boat to go up the river. And we hiked into a ranger station that was part of the Postal Service delivery up the stream, up the river. It was the only way for these people upriver to get the mail was by boat.
USPS uses mail. I'll accept that.
I wouldn't be surprised Oh, I'm sorry. I wouldn't be surprised if they still used horses in some places too.
Well, like that's what I was going to say. You have mailed a postcard from the bottom of the Grand Canyon.
Right. Those little donkeys carry it up, right?
Or a mule.
A mule. Yeah.
A mule might be a better.
So what's the difference between a donkey and a mule?
A mule is the cross between a horse and a donkey.
Oh.
They're a little more sure-footed.
I'm and not up on my farm animals.
The donkeys are more stubborn, and when the mule is born by the mama horse and sticks with the mama horse, then they're more user-friendly or more apt to... Yeah, exactly.
They're nice. Okay. Like, yeah, mules, we did mail from the bottom of the Grand Canyon.
Exactly.
And they would have... You know, though, I wonder if they would have taken it by boat or raft also, maybe. I think it comes up just on those.
Just on the mule.
It takes a long time. You almost had to put me on a mule to get me out.
To get out of the Grand Canyon. And for backstory, we hiked North Rim to the South Rim of the Grand Canyon. We stayed at the bottom.
Phantom Ranch.
Phantom Ranch. Yeah, that was it. And they also have offer steak dinners at the bottom of that place, and they bring it in by mules. So, interesting enough, you can get a postmarked from the bottom of that post office and brought on out.
That's true.
All right, so you passed. 2 out of 3 is a passing grade on the trivia. All right, it's about all that we wanted to update you on. If you have any of the instances where you had mail that wasn't delivered and how you overcame it or what you did about it, let us know in the comments or drop us an email or one of the other many different ways that you can get a hold of us here at Pickers Podcast. And with that, Jen, why don't you go ahead and close us out?
All right, fellow pickers, go find your treasures one story at a time.
And remember, it's not reselling if your packages are getting lost.
Hmm.
Bye.
Bye.